Good day, brothers and sisters, and here we are once again at the CMI School of Christ, and we're going to go ahead and just continue with our class, The Great Mercy of God. And it's every once in a while I say this because it seems like we're not talking about the mercy of God at all, but when in fact everything is because of the mercy of God. Everything, for us who are born again, the very fact that we are born again is because of the mercy of God. Of those whom the Lord has caused their hearts to come unto repentance, to turn unto Christ the second, is a fact of the mercy of God. There's a verse, and I thought about it. I just didn't jot it down in my notes, so that's why I'm going to try to look it up right now. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Okay, I'll just read this, and I'm not sure where I'm going to write it in my notes because I know there's a spot. I'll just jot it here. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Let's just do 5. And in going over my notes, I'd thought about this verse, and in fact, I somewhat quoted it. I can't remember what day it was. And also, by the way, this class, if this class has actually blessed you, this particular class, it'd be a good thing to maybe look at the Sunday service that we just had, because I spoke pretty much basically the same thing but with different emphasis. So viewing both would give a fuller, I guess, understanding. Or I don't want to say understanding, but just a fuller picture of what's being conveyed here. But right here with 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, and forgive me for the pronunciations of these words, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And here it is, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And I just want to look at verse 3, where it says here, which according to his abundant mercy, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. That's new birth. And there is no time when a person, when a soul can say, I think I'll be born again today. Or let me mark that on my calendar too. I'm busy at the moment, but here it is. 2 weeks from now, I'll be born again. I'll do that. No. It is either the abundant mercy of God, or you continue as always. See, and that's the thing with mercy. Mercy implies one in a particular condition or situation who is completely helpless and What's another word? And impotent and ignorant in that situation. I'll give you an example. There was the man, and I think it was John chapter 9, the man who was born blind. See, the thing is, he didn't even know he was blind. He did not know he was blind, and he did not know that he needed the mercy of God to do what he didn't know would change his condition, would change his situation. Do you see what I mean? That's an extreme case right there. And that is exactly the case for those who are born again. Or excuse me. Take that back. That is the exact situation, condition for those who are not born again. They are completely blind to the fact that they have no life. Therefore, they don't even know that they need life. They don't even know that they need salvation. Completely ignorant to the fact, completely blind to the fact. They don't even know that they need the mercy of God to bring them unto where they themselves cannot come by their own means, power, ability, strength, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, whatever. And yet God, in His abundant mercy, through the work of the Holy Spirit, continues preparing the ground of the heart until the Spirit of God can redirect the heart and cause the heart to turn unto the Lord. Bring the heart unto Christ, that it may find life, salvation, the all things of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the work of the Spirit. And man is so completely ignorant that he needs mercy, because man cannot come unto the Lord. Jesus said this, "No man can come to me except the Father draw him." Once again, I think a couple classes we looked at it because of the context of the verses from Matthew that we were looking at and the parallel Gospels. The rich young ruler came unto Jesus, but he came in his own strength. And therefore, he also left in his own strength. And then, of course, you have the disciples then saying, well, if he can't be saved, who can? We're all helpless. We are all in need, because we cannot change our condition. And then here Jesus gives the answer. With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So I just love that that verse with 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And not only that, after the Spirit of the Lord has brought our heart unto Christ, where our heart, you can say, repents for the very first time, the heart turns to the Lord, that is repentance, then the Spirit of God continues just the same. So the heart can now turn the second. And behold now Him who is present. Because up until the time that the heart turns unto the Lord, the heart of the one who is born again, that it turns unto the Lord and the veil is removed and God the Father reveals the Son, His very own Son, who is present in the soul, then that heart, that soul, continues ignorant of the one who's present and believes and thinks that what was before, the condition of death, is present when it is not. At the moment of new birth, the condition that governed the soul, death, was replaced because Christ, the Son of God, who is life, appeared in the soul. So now the condition of the soul is found in life because the Son of God is present, because Christ is present, Christ who is life. Right? But that, as you've known with our classes, that doesn't, ignorance still reigns until the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ appears in the heart and soul. So I just wanted to mention that because it is all, and we're going to possibly see it. I know we saw it in our last class. It is all a walk of faith. It is all a walk in the light. It is all a walking in Christ, walking in the truth. And you can go on adding all these terms, but listen to me. It is a walk in the mercy of God, discovering the mercy of God anew every morning. Two examples. I love them. Two examples. And I'll bring them both together, and I've already brought them together in other classes, but I'll do the same here. Well, I don't have the diagram on the board at the moment. It's on the other side of the board, but I'm not going to flip it. Acts chapter 7, verses like 1 through 4. Stephen declaring the eternal purpose of God for the soul. He says, "Men, brethren, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran," or Quran. That is the mercy of God. In type, it's like being born again. Had God not stepped in, Abraham would have continued, or at that moment, Abram would have continued just as normal as ever, just as regular as ever, just doing his own thing. Okay? And it goes on, he comes short in Haran, and he remains there, and God, or excuse me, back in Ur, and he says this, he just doesn't appear, but he declares purpose, get out from and come unto. All right, that's what he says. Get out from and come unto. Well, come unto a land that I will show thee. And the land that God shows Abram is the land that is filled with his very own presence, his very own person, his very own glory. Because that is what Abram discovers in the land, the Lord himself. He continues in the appearing of the Lord. Okay? I'll just go ahead and read it. And we've been in Genesis 15. For quite a while. Excuse me, I've got a cough drop. My allergies get real bad, and then I get a real bad sore throat and scratchy throat. So this is Genesis 15. Let's see. Yeah. I'll just read verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give you this land to inherit it. I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees. So not only did I appear, but I'm the one who brought you out. The great mercy of God, what Abram could not do. And it continues, because I'll read verse 5. And the Lord, brought Abram forth abroad. Remember? Abram was saying, Eliezer, my head servant, he's the heir. And the Lord says, no, not this one, but Christ. Not this one, but Christ. That's ultimately what he's saying. And because Abram's heart at the time, to whatever degree, was what's the word, was caught up with that which is below, with the effects, the results of, then what the Lord does, verse 5, and the Lord brought him forth abroad. The Lord now brings his heart once again and brings it out from below and redirects it unto that which is above. And he says it right here. And said, look now toward heaven above and tell the stars, count them if you are able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall the seed be. Behold the increase. Behold the full measure that filleth. And Abram believed the Lord. But do you see? The Lord steps in and does what man cannot do. Had the Lord not brought him forth, or his heart now, had the Lord not brought his heart, where it says right here, forth abroad, out from, but bringing him forth unto, out from his understanding unto the understanding of God. Out from what he was beholding below in the natural unto that which God himself beholds. Had God not done this in his abundant mercy, Abram, in his mind, would have declared unto all who were present with Abram, Eliezer, his head servant, to be the heir. Had God not stepped in, had the Lord in his abundant mercy not stepped in. So, this is an entire walk in the mercy of God, because what it does, it makes us dependent. It shows us, it doesn't make us dependent. It shows us to be dependent upon another. And that other is Christ. It shows us to be dependent upon the Lord, upon God himself. And we find ourselves, like we had in the past classes, like babes, in the sense of, I cannot, I know not, I am not able, but you are able, you can, and you know. Do you see? It makes us utterly dependent upon the Lord. And it should. That is our relationship, brother and sister, to be utterly dependent upon the Lord, that to walk in that utter dependence of another, and that other being Christ himself, the Lord himself. Paul walked in it. I mean, I think we read a verse a couple classes back. When I am weak, then I am strong. But why? Because it is not I, but Christ who is my strength. Do you see? It's always the Lord. It's always a continual confession of not I, but Christ. And of course, that confession only comes in the continual appearing of the Lord. That's the only time that we can confess that. Because, I mean, we can confess that, but we confess it from a teaching standpoint, or from a message standpoint, or from a doctrinal standpoint, kind of like what I mentioned earlier. We can read this verse and say, yes, this is what it is. This is the truth. And yet, our hearts have never seen the truth in the person of Jesus Christ. So then, though that is true, the truth does not govern our own heart. We're still governed by the lie. So anyway, I don't want to go off on a different tangent here, but I want to continue just with the same. And it's becoming a little bit more clear in my heart, because I've thought about this, I've meditated about this, and I've just, you know, read several different passages in the scriptures, and I know I mentioned something like this before, but here's the thing. It is not a matter of us having the understanding of a child. No, the understanding of a child is one of ignorance. It's I. No, we are to have the understanding of a son. The understanding of a son is simply this. It is not I, but Christ. Because the understanding of a son comes when the Son of God is revealed in the soul of the Father. When the Son of God is revealed of the Father in the soul of the one who is born again. That is when the understanding of a son governs the heart. Okay? Where you come in and find the child, how we've been looking at it in the past couple classes, where Jesus, they ask Jesus, well, who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? And he brings a little child, puts him in the midst. You know, if you can humble yourself like this little one, this one's the greatest in the kingdom. And they're like, whoa, you know, I've become a child? No. It's the posture of the heart. And the posture of the heart should be, I am completely, utterly helpless. And I need all things, not just some, of another. I need it to be, listen to me, the life of another. I need it to be for the one who's born again, he needs it to be the wisdom, understanding, and knowledge of another. Because the one who is born again, life is present, Christ is present. The thing is, until Christ is revealed of God the Father, the one who's born again thinks it's still them, and therefore they need, in their mind, they need it to be the life of another. Well, it is the life of another. What we need, for those of us who are born again, what we need is we need the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that is when God himself reveals his son where he is. So, I'll just go on. If not, I'm not going to read these passages here that I have. This is 1 Samuel chapter 14, verses 1 through 23. And I'm just going to read a couple of, you know, excerpts out of this passage right here. But this will be the context. Verse 1. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor. And this situation right here, Saul and Jonathan, they are fighting against the Philistines during this whole time. And once again, it's 1 Samuel chapter 14, verses 1 through 23. Going on with verse 1. Jonathan says to his armor bearer, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison, that is on the other side. But he told not his father. All right. Now, verse 3. And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. So then they left, and the people didn't know Jonathan was gone. Picking up with verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. Can you hear the posture of the heart of Jonathan? Come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. We will not work, but the Lord will work for us. Not I, but the Lord. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Because who is doing the saving? The Lord. I love that. He places the whole situation and any chance of the situation changing in the hands of the Lord Himself. It may be that the Lord will work for us. I love that. Not, I think we read the verse of King Solomon out of the Proverbs, lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge the Lord, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Lean not in your own understanding, whether, I don't know if we can take them on, I don't know if we can do this, I don't know if we can, I don't know if we, or I don't know if I, no, not I. Acknowledge Him. It may be that the Lord will work for us. All right? Going on, verse 7. And I love this. I love this about his armor bearer, because he heard the heart of Jonathan. He didn't hear Jonathan saying, let's do this thing. We can do it. We're strong enough. You and me. No, that's not what he heard, because that's not what Jonathan declared. Jonathan declared the truth. Jonathan, at this point right here, his heart is postured of the Lord in utter dependence upon the Lord. All right? Verse 7, and his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. I love that. You see, he didn't say, do all that's in your mind. Do all that you want to do. No. No, he did not say that. Do all that is in your heart, because your heart is postured correctly unto the Lord. Your heart has been postured by the Lord Himself to rely completely and utterly and solely, exclusively upon the Lord Himself. Not I, but the Lord. Not I, but Christ. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. He didn't say according to thy strength, according to thy words, according to my strength, according to what we can do together, or even according to who we are, the people of God. No. I'm with thee according to thy heart. Because currently your heart has been postured of the Lord to be in utter dependence upon the Lord Himself. And there is no better place to be found but trusting in the Lord. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto them, and we will discover ourselves, make ourselves known unto them. If they say unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. Verse 10, but if they say, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand. And then he goes on to say, and this will be a sign unto us. All right? Verse 12, and the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer. They made themselves known. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of us? No. Of me? No. Of Saul's company? No. The hand of Israel. Israel, my son, let my son go, that he may serve me. Not I, but Christ. All the enemies of the Lord, all the things that would highly exalt themselves above the name of Christ, to be brought into captivity unto Christ. Or shall I say also, to be destroyed in the brightness of his coming, in the brightness of his appearing. Verse 13. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And the first slaughter basically was about 20 men. Then it goes on. Verse 21. Now, see, here's some results of one whose heart has been brought, whose posture of his heart has been brought of the Lord unto being that of utter dependence upon the Lord. Here are the results of that. Verse 21, moreover, the Hebrews that were in the Philistines were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Verse 22, likewise all the men of Israel, which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they had heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day. Who saved? Who did work? The Lord. Not I, but Christ. And all it did, all that one soul, one person, being brought by the abundant mercy of God, the tender and abundant mercy of God, and ever abounding grace, being brought in their hearts to such a posture, their hearts being brought to such a posture that they are in utter dependence upon the Lord, then results of that are that others come also in what the Lord is doing. Others are directed also unto that which the Lord is doing. Now, I said that just to say that the goal isn't that we motivate others. The goal is not that others be motivated. No. That God Himself, in His tender and abundant mercy and ever-abounding grace, would continue preparing the ground of our heart till it is postured in such a manner where we are utterly dependent upon the Lord for everything. For even repentance, to turn unto the Lord, to be able to behold Him who is present, God the Father revealing His Son, the miracle of God beginning to end, and every step of the way. So that's why I say that. It's just that posture of the heart, you know, and it is all a work of the Lord. If the Lord does not work, hey, listen, they labor in vain. If the Lord doesn't watch the city, hey, the watchmen, they're up all night in vain. Do you see? It's the mercy of God. It is what God does. We are just ignorant of Him. We are just ignorant that it is His ability and not ours. In all things pertaining unto that which is of God, unto that which is of eternal value, unto that which is above, unto Christ Himself. All right, going on. A little later, this is David, and I think at some point, Saul and Jonathan were slain. And I'm not sure if it was like before chapter 2 or after. I'm not sure if it was before 2 Samuel chapter 2 or before 2 Samuel chapter 5. I know I saw it in just the reading, and then I just picked these two little passages out. But here's the passages. 2 Samuel chapter 2 verses 1 through 4. And this is the heart of David. See, just a second ago we saw the heart of Jonathan. It may be that the Lord will work for us. It's like Jonathan declares, I don't know. But if the Lord wills, if he desires, then it'll be. But I don't know. And if he doesn't desire, then it will not be. Do you see what I mean? And I don't want to be a part of it. But if the Lord desires, then it'll be. And the Lord will work. All right? 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord. Now, this is concerning his own people. This is concerning the people of God, Israel. All right? That David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. At that moment, David could have said, okay, here I go. Come on, guys. And picked whatever he wanted, chosen whatever he wanted of the cities of Judah, and just gone. Because the Lord said, go up. David asked, shall I go up? The Lord said, go up. But David's approach here in this passage, his heart is postured in such a manner of the Lord to be utterly dependent upon the Lord. I don't know if I should go up or not, Lord. Consulting the Lord, speaking unto the Lord as unto a person, not as unto a message or a doctrine or a teaching, and that's what I'm getting at. The Lord is living. He is more alive than these physical bodies. And yet we regard the physical bodies of having life, more life than the Lord himself. But that's just because we're ignorant of the life that's present. And even after the Lord says, go up, David says, and David said, whither shall I go up? I don't know if I should. The Lord says, go up. I don't know where. Can you hear it? I don't know. Thy servant is but a child, and I know not. Declaring utter dependence upon the Lord. With Solomon declaring ignorance, and yet at the same time, his ignorance, and at the same time declaring his utter dependence upon the Lord, because I know not, yet you know. And I'll say this, it doesn't matter what we know, brother and sister. I told I was in a Bible conference in Bible school in Mexico, and I told the students, God doesn't care, or I put it this way, it doesn't matter what we know. And then I said, God doesn't care what we know. He cares about what he knows, and he desires to make his knowing known in our hearts. He desires to reveal his knowing, his knowledge in our hearts. Because his knowing, his knowledge is the truth. Our knowing is ignorance of the truth. It's kind of like, and this is a sad example, but this is the one that popped into my head. It's kind of like maybe like a little child. I did have those thoughts. You know, at night when they're trying to go to sleep and, you know, it's dark and the lights are out and you're supposed to go to sleep at that time and you think there's like a monster in the closet. And, oh, I think there's a monster in the closet and you can't go to sleep. Well, that's the mind, that's ignorance governing and reigning. Until the parent comes in, turns the light on, says, look, opens the closet, there's nothing there. That's the greater knowing being revealed unto ignorance. That ignorance would no longer govern. And no, Monsters, Inc. is not real. It's fiction. It's a cartoon. So, but anyway, that's just the first example that came into my mind. It's in ignorance, and it's in the darkness of the vain imagination that we think we know, but we don't know anything. Therefore, that knowing isn't what counts. Now see, once again, with my sad little example, what if the parent came into the bedroom and their child's like, I can't go to sleep, I'm afraid. Why are you afraid? Because there's a monster in my closet. Oh, there's a monster in your closet? What if the parent would have agreed with the ignorance of the child? Well, there's no comfort there. Oh my gosh, if there's a, you know, the parent agreeing with, oh, well, gosh, I guess I don't know either. Well, let's get out of this room and go somewhere else. Let's sell the house or whatever, you know. No. No. The parent comes in, and the child says, there's a monster in my closet. The parent, they're concerned for their child because the child does not know the facts of the matter. The child is governed by their vain imagination that is ruling and governing them at night, not in the day. Because in the day, they have no problem being in their room playing with their toys. It's just at night. So the parent just declares the facts. There is no monster in your closet. Look, let me show you. Turns the light on, click, ta-da! Brothers and sisters, with God it is so much greater. It is so much greater. We are to a great degree, we are just governed by ignorance. And there's no comfort. There's no rest in our soul. Because we don't know the truth. And the truth is not a fact. We don't know the truth who is Christ. We do not know the one who is present. And yet, that is the very desire and pleasure of God, to reveal Him who is present. That is the very purpose for which He created the soul, the appearing of Christ. Yes, there are results of that. I'm not afraid anymore. My soul is at rest. All these results, all these effects. But the goal, the purpose, the issue is not, the goal is not the effects or the results, no. The goal is to forever behold Him who is present. Once again, 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said unto Hebron, so David went up hither, verse 4, and the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over all the house of Judah. And those were the results. David didn't know what the results were going to be. He just knew that the Lord said, yes, you can go up unto the houses, unto the cities of Judah, and specifically go unto Hebron. Okay, Lord, I didn't know. David didn't know what to expect, what he would find when he got there. And brother and sister, the thing is that we think, because we are so self-centered, we are so self-absorbed, we are so self-conscious, and we are so seeing ourselves as the object of the Scriptures, we think if we are utterly dependent upon the Lord and follow after Him, that we're going to be kings. No, that's not the case. Look, and the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. The Lord had already chosen His king, His chosen, a long time ago. Remember with Samuel? A couple classes back. All that the men of Judah did were acknowledge. They acknowledged the true king, the chosen of God. And see, that's what happens. When by the tender mercy and ever abundant mercy, well, the tender and ever abundant mercy of God and ever abounding grace of God, He brings our heart to such a posture, by the Holy Spirit preparing the ground of our heart, unto such a posture where we are utterly dependent upon the Lord, upon God Himself, that our heart turns unto the Lord. All He does is He makes known unto our soul His very own knowing. And that is Christ, the true heir, the true seed, the true king. And in His knowing, there is rest for our souls. I love that. Remember, not I, but Christ. Once again, they are they that testify of Me. It all revolves around Jesus. And I know we say that, but we think other. We think it all revolves around us. But it doesn't. All right. Now, excuse me. With that passage, it was concerning the people of God. With this passage, this next passage is concerning the enemy. This is 2 Samuel, still in 2 Samuel, a little couple chapters afterwards. This is chapter 5, now verses 17 through 25. But all I really want to just show here is the heart being brought unto a posture by the Lord, the heart, the Lord bringing a heart unto the posture where the heart is utterly dependent upon the Lord for everything. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 17 through 25. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. And David heard of it and went down into the hold. Verse 18, the Philistines also came up and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Verse 19, and David inquired of the Lord concerning that which is of the people of God, of His body. He inquires of the Lord because he doesn't know. Concerning that which is the enemy that would try to thwart the purposes of the Lord in every generation, he doesn't know. And David, verse 19 again, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? Do you see the posture of the heart? Just like Jonathan, it may be that the Lord will work for us. Should I go up unto the Philistines? Will you? Not I or my troops or my men. No. Will you deliver them into our hands? I love that. And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. Verse 20, and David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord hath. See, David, it said David smote them there. He could have said, we did it, guys. No. Why? Because of what's governing his heart. Why? Because of the posture of his heart. Why? Because the Lord, in his tender and abounding mercy and ever abundant grace, has brought David's heart unto a posture where it is utterly dependent upon the Lord. Not I, but Christ. Therefore, who can take the credit for such a victory? Not I, but Christ. I love it. The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me, before my face. I'm going to search that out because I want to make sure. Well, it's not so much that I want to make sure. I want to make sure for myself that that is exactly what it is. But whoops. But I believe it is so, because that's usually the way it is. That's the norm in the Scriptures. But to be certain. All right. And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before. Yep. You can put this. I don't know if you write in your Bible or in your notes or whatever, but you can mark there. I write in my Bible sometimes, but I've got Strong's numbers. Actually, not this one, a different Bible. It's Strong's number 6440. And it is plural, but always singular, of an unused noun, pane, from Strong's number 6437, the face. Because David is a type of Christ. Oh gosh, they testify of me. Here we go again. Here's Jesus. I always do those things that please the Father. The Father worketh here too, and I also work. I only do that which I see my Father doing. Utter dependence upon another. Now, I'm not saying that we are Christ. No. No. I'm saying that we've been brought into this relationship of the Father and the Son. How the Son is utterly dependent upon his Father. And if the Son is our life, our hearts, our souls should be just as utterly dependent as well. I love this. All right. David, beautiful type of Christ, before my face, as the breach of waters. Therefore, he called the name of the place Baal Perazim. Verse 21. And there they left their images, right? Their concepts of God, their images, false images. And David and his men burned them to destroy them in the brightness of his coming. I love it. Verse 22. And the Philistines, look at this. And the Philistines came up yet again, another time, and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. The very exact same place. They did the very exact same thing. David could say, oh gosh, this is the very exact same situation that I encountered a while ago or before. David could very well have said, I know what the mind of the Lord is in this. I've already experienced it before. I know what to do. No, he did not do that. He did not allow reality to become a message or a teaching or a doctrine or a theology or something you can learn and take with you. No. I love that. Utter dependence upon the Lord. Well, I know what happened last time, but you know what, Lord? I still don't know. Verse 22, and when David inquired of the Lord, he inquires of the Lord again. I don't know, Lord. It appears I should do this because this is what I did last time. This is what you told me to do last time. But I don't know. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up. Oh, it's different. But fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. Verse 24. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself or bestir thyself. Forgive me, I don't know how to pronounce that word. For then shall the Lord, then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. Verse 25, and David did so as the Lord had commanded him and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. Heart postured in such a manner that it is utterly dependent upon another, utterly dependent upon the Lord. And this posture of the heart is not something we can do, brothers and sisters. This posture of the heart is only because of the tender and abundant mercy of God. As the Spirit of the Lord continues preparing the ground of our heart unto the beholding of the one who's present. Excuse me. Not I, but Christ. Therein and therewith, no man can boast himself. No man can boast in himself, but in the Lord. So, I know I'm out of time, and we're getting very close to it. I'll let you all go for this class, but may we just cry out to the Lord, or just ask the Lord that He would do in our hearts what He desires to do by His Spirit. Amen? That's a good way to end it. What He desires to do by His Spirit. I'll let you go for this class. We'll see you in the next class. The Lord bless you. Amen.